Hello, Bonsai friends. This is Evan Pardue of Underhill Bonsai, and welcome to episode 73 of Little Things for Bonsai People. And it is 2024, the year of the wood dragon. And I have one of my co-hosts here today with me, Carmen Lesko-Bienski. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Pretty well. It's warming up over here in southeast Louisiana. It was 80 degrees today. It was kind of cool, but also kind of hot. So, but we can talk about the weather and stuff a little bit later because I need to introduce our guests. Today, we're going to be talking about Bonsai Central, the show coming up. It's going to be in St. Louis. I'm sure we're going to have lots and lots of information to be shared on this episode. If you guys have been listening to our show for a while, you know that we have been sponsored by Bonsai Central as well. So we have Jesse Gilbertson. How's it going, Jesse?
Hey there. How you guys doing?
And I also have Nathan Bill. How's it going,
Nathan?
Doing?
Glad to be on the show.
Yeah, we're really happy to have you guys on, and we're going to talk about these guys' role in the show and what they've played as far as setting it up, moving towards a big show like this. As far as what I'm understanding, this is a show on that's projected to be on the standard of like the national show in some way. So we'll get into that a little bit more, but we'll pick some details out of these guys. But before we get started, I do need to mention that our podcast is sponsored by our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/littlethingsforbonsaipeople. Head on over there and become a Bonsai Best Bud and hang out with them in the Discord. And we have so many patrons now that I won't do the ramble off patron shout out anymore. I'm sorry, but we don't have the time for that kind of stuff anymore. So today's featured Bonsai Best Bud is Ricky Ruins. I actually got to meet Ricky in San Antonio. Went to the San Antonio Bonsai Club. And did a presentation for them and a workshop, and I got to actually shake his hand. He gave me a cactus. Thank you so much for that rare cactus. It was awesome, and it's in my window, and it's about to flower. And of course, we have our main show sponsor, Joshua Roth Tools. Thank you, John, with Joshua Roth Tools for sponsoring our show. That's really awesome. And then, of course, we have our specimen best buds. Always get a shout out. UN, Christina Chlorophoria, and of course, holding down and being the specimen bonsai bud anchor, Bill's Bayou. Thank you, Bill Butler. And then, of course, we can't go any further without mentioning our editor, Matt O'Donnell. He makes us sound smart. He cleans up our audio and makes us enjoyable to listen to. Go over to mattodonnell.com, fill out a contact form, and start your own podcast show or audio engineering project with him. He is a set basis living in Nashville, Tennessee, and he's all around awesome guy. It's in the script. Say it every single time. Thank you so much, Matt. Couldn't do it without you. And go check out Matt O'Donnell Wants to Know, his own podcast show where he talks to people who do interesting careers and jobs and eclectic things and make a living at it. It's a really cool show. So now that that's over, finally, let's start talking to Nathan and Jesse here, or Jesse and Nathan in no particular order. I don't know what you guys' role is in the show. I know we also have another person that wasn't able to record with us today, but, from my understanding, you guys are the main organizers. Is that right?
Pretty much. Yeah, there's kind of, I guess, the three of us that have really worked pretty hard at it. But it's kind of amazing how we've had our club step up. We have some pretty amazing people on it. And I'm going to give a shout out to a few of them later. But our website was completely done in-house. Everything was really done really well like that. Initially, it felt like just the two of us, just the three of us, and we were able to really pull in a lot of good collaborators.
Yeah, it's certainly been a group effort. We spread the work all around, and it's been really nice to see the fellow board members and club members come to their own and really support the endeavor to get this convention going.
Well, yeah. I remember when you guys hosted ABS, it was a number of years back, but your club really pulled together to put that on, and it was one of the best ABS shows I've been to. So I have high hopes for Bonsai Central.
Yeah,
it was kind of wild how that played out. Actually, that was just done with a few people.
Oh, really?
Pulled in everybody at the last minute, so none of us knew what was going on until
well, it seemed like you did, so good job.
I think that's a good way to be successful too, as long as you know you've got a handle on it. So but this way it seems like there's a lot of players involved and everybody's really proud of it, so you're gonna see that at the show.
And this kind of ties into, like, for our listeners out there that are kind of like, Why are we talking about this Boneside show like this? Well, they have been sponsoring the shows. No, I'm just kidding. No, like this kind of ties into like the whole thing is like, why should you go to a Boneside show? And why is it important to show your trees and how to get things prepped and for all that? But we're getting like a background look at this too, which is really interesting. I'm doing my own show over here with Say Boneside, but that's more of a local type thing. It's just a hangout, you know, kind of more like a barbecue, but it's a crawfish bowl thing. But these guys are putting on a show like that's going to live up to a certain standard. That's what you guys were looking for initially, right? So what was y'all's expectation of the show from the get-go, or did it exceed that already?
Yeah, we certainly have a standard that we're aiming for. And I think based on the trees that I've seen that have been submitted and have been accepted to the show, that we've, you know, met the standard that we were going for. And I'm really excited to put on the show, see the trees. And I know it's going to blow some people away, particularly that maybe haven't been able to travel out to the Nationals or the Expo or something like that to see one of the, you know, nicer, bigger shows, to kind of see the quality of trees that people are working on in their gardens. And so right from the outset, I think we got the idea from the club that this experience or having an experience like this was really important to the members that we had. We are actively trying to promote Bonsai both in the area, but especially amongst our club, and kind of raise the level of the practitioners in our club. And we thought there's no better way to do that than to kind of experience some of the top trees in the country. So that was our goal from the outset. And, you know, we've done our best to get there. And I think we have.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jesse?
Yeah, I think, you know, initially talking with, we have a really great study group here that is headed up by Tyler Sherrod. And we were talking with him kind of about it. And he was like, if you're going to put on a show, make sure the best trees are coming to it. And we really started thinking, we want the exhibition to be more important than anything else in the show. Now it's turned into a pretty awesome marketplace with all the vendors that we have lined up. And of course the artists for the educational series. So, I mean, it's really well-rounded, but you know, in the Midwest, we often go to some of these conventions that are much smaller, or the convention is just regional. So you get like a few great trees, a lot of kind of intermediate trees, and then some that have a ways to go. We're really hoping to showcase the best of the best. You don't see that. We haven't seen that in the Midwest in a long time, probably since BCI and ABS came together and did a show years ago. But that's really the hope for this. And I think, you know, by encouraging that level, I think we can maybe progress it even further in the future. And we're kind of talking about how that might look, but
in it.
Yeah, we've been asked if this is going to be a recurring thing or if it's kind of a one-time deal and things like that. And I keep telling people, let's get through the first one before we talk about anything beyond number one. It's an incredible amount of work to put this all together. And, you know, it's an incredible commitment from all those involved in the planning process to make all the pieces work together like a fine oiled machine, and not forget about stuff, because there's certainly a lot of things that come up all the time that we're like, no one ever thought about that. Like, how are we going to tackle this problem? But my point is that we're still kind of working through what it looks like long term if we decide to do this again. But like Jesse said, the focus is always going to be on putting on the best show we possibly can. And then the rest of it, this time it's kind of a full convention. We have an educational program with round tables and discussions like that. We have workshops with some pretty nice material that we have several artists working on. So it was a full slate of events this time around. I'm not promising that we could do that for every time, because finding workshop material is quite the task for something like this. But one thing I know is that if we do continue this in the future, that the focus is always going to be on making the best show that we possibly can.
Mm. So y'all mentioned y'all's club a good bit. So this is the St. Louis club. And I was just wondering, I'm always interested to know things about particular areas and the way that things work with you guys, how, like, cause I mean, like, I've been to a few different, club events, like outside of Louisiana. And I'm just wondering, how old is St. Louis? How long has that club been around for?
Okay. I'll take this one. I think we're at 55 years now.
Nice.
Yeah, we had shirts made a few years ago on the back. It had the dates. In fact, Nathan's probably wearing that. but awesome. Yeah, it's a fantastic club. We're really lucky. This is something I'm really proud to talk about. I've been in this club for over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And the really cool thing about this club now, I mean, as clubs do, membership rolls over, people age out, people get older. And typically, this has always been an older board of directors and older leadership, because, I mean, people retire. This is what they do. We've really got a pretty young, active club right now. A lot of women, a lot of young people. And our board is, I mean, I'm not that young anymore, but Nathan's younger than I am. And it's cool. It's challenging because we all have a lot of energy, but a lot of us have children. A lot of us have jobs. Right now, I think I can hear, if I listen really closely, the maples extending in the backyard that I need to go pinch. So, you know, planning for something like this alongside maintaining collections and things like that that we're really passionate about is pretty difficult. But I'm off topic.
Decided on the busy season for this convention being right in the middle of repotting season was just like not having the best foresight either, because as March has rolled around, it's been much more difficult to get everybody together to
all the trees are going to look wonderful, right? Because they're going to be popped out, fresh new leaves. You might even have some flowering specimens on show. And then you're like, oh, wow, this is a much bigger undertaking. I can get that. Because
it's going to be interesting seeing how people time out how they're pruning in order to get the best leaf look. I've really put a lot of thought into one of my trees and prune it. But I just want to talk about the club again for a second.
Sorry, I interrupted.
Been super successful club in the past. We've got a relationship with our local botanical garden, and we have one of the largest, in fact, I think the largest Japanese heritage festivals in the country. So we've been able to have pretty great recruitment because of that, but also revenue streams through, you know, selling trees, making stuff like that available to the public. I think that's super important to success of clubs, getting outside of just dues, funding your educational series and things like that. So we're lucky. We've always had an influx of new people coming in, and, you know, you get those diamonds every year, every couple of years that really stick with it and become involved. So
how many members do you guys think you guys have roughly at this moment?
Last time I checked, it was around 130 members, but we have a family membership portion of it. So I don't know the exact number.
Could be way more.
it could be more. Yes, we don't really parse between the two, but there's 133 memberships. And then several of those are family memberships, which have 2-3 people in them. So,
yeah.
And what are your guys' roles within the club?
So I'm the president of the club.
Which we're honored.
Quite the honor, yeah. And Jesse is the former president of the club, the past one. So I was vice president when he was president. He term limited out.
I thought it was done, but then I read the bylaws, and apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Board member after I'm done until there's another new president. So thought I got out of it.
I know. I got to read those bylaws. They really kind of rope you in for the long haul without you realizing it.
Yeah, we have some pretty smart founding fathers.
We're looking at rewriting the bylaws, I think, since I was... No, we are looking at rewriting them, but I think we'll probably keep in the present remaining on because it really helps with continuity for the next set of president, vice president, keeping that former president on, kind of guiding them. This is how we do it. So it's been really nice having Jesse remain around. And when I feel like I need some support, he's always there to help out. So
there you go.
One of the cool things with that is, you know, I mentioned our younger board. When I first came into kind of leadership role, I mean, people are always looking for those. I mean, as we are always looking for people that are going to maybe step up to that. And, you know, well, anyway, we've brought in a lot of younger people. When I first started, we were like, oh, we need to get on Facebook. We need to get on social media. And the board was just like, what? We don't do that. We don't know that. and now we have a, we've developed as you guys have a Discord. And we've got a young member. He's our vice president now, Mike Basick. He put together the Discord, was really, and is really great about education. And so, you know, our Discord has channels for propagation, for Yamadori, for ceramics, marketplace, all that. And we're pulling in a lot of our older members into that Discord now too. And it's just become, we even have private channels for Central Bonsai Central Planning. So it's really become a key tool for club and, you know, being really active and connected. So that's one really cool thing about, you know, having this kind of influx of younger members, because I wouldn't have even thought about Discord. And
I had never used it until, like, I'd heard of it, but I'd not used it until we started the podcast. And it's become a really interesting place to connect with people. Super useful too. And it's fun too to have folks all over the world, because then, you know, when we're sleeping, there's folks in Australia posting, and then we wake up, but, you know, you can kind of just go back and forth. So it's just really a fun way to stay connected. I think that's a, knowing that your club is doing that,
that's a big leap.
I think that's a really good suggestion too for other clubs who are looking to get more involved in social, not necessarily social media, but as a way to connect, you know, in a different way, because Instagram and Facebook are, can be, you know, more just looking and watching rather than being involved. So I think Discord's a really interesting way to get people into whatever it is you're doing. So that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. There's a couple of people I don't even know on Discord.
Me too, yeah.
I'm at the club and I'm like, oh, you're the one that was asking about this. Yeah, it's more of a closed group. I can't imagine an international Discord. That must be insane.
Yeah, that's kind of like how these Facebook groups kind of run, which is, they're a great thing, but at the same time, they can be kind of a shaky environment to ask advice in. And so whenever you consolidate it down to your area, like where everybody is actually located, you guys are going to the same club together, and then you, like, you're getting all these questions and these pictures, and then you guys are able to coordinate things much easier and more sound. Like one of my local clubs was mailing out their newsletters, and then they went from that to emailing, and the emails are even more clunky than the web, than the posted, like, ship mail stuff that we were doing. So it's like, It's just a little bit more modernized, and I know it's, like, a little weird for some people. I know some older folks out there would be like, oh, I don't want to have to mess around with that, you know. And it's, but it is the, one of the simpler versions of keeping in touch with people. It's not like a Facebook group, and then you make a Facebook Messenger group, and that stuff just, it, you can't make sense of it very easy. You know, Discord is a tool of organizing groups like this. Because you guys can start threads and discussions on the side. I mean, I, like Carmen said, I didn't really start using Discord until I wanted to organize our listeners, and any kind of questions or interactions, I wanted to be a lot more upfront and personable with it, like you've said. And I think it's a great idea for a lot of other clubs to maybe start pursuing this path. But yeah, it's just an all around great thing to do. So Yeah. Tell us.
So Discord, if you want to be a sponsor of this podcast,
No, I'm not pushing that at all. Discord. Yeah, check out our Discord.
No, but Discord has really been useful. And, you know, like you said, we have just our club Discord. So things like timing of when they're waking up or timing when to do work is very, very pertinent. And it's, you know, easy to say, I'm, you know, pinching candles to, or whatever you're doing that day.
Storms coming in.
What do you say?
Storms coming in, protect your trees.
Oh yeah, exactly.
A lot of that. Yeah.
So it's like a little watchdog for your bonsai in a weird way, where it's like, I'm doing this right now, and yet someone posts a picture of their tree, and then suddenly that interaction can be taken care of. But some people might see that as like a downside in some instances, where if you go to the bonsai club meeting, you might see as like, oh, did we answer all the questions? But then you know that club meeting could be richer from all those interactions and talk about, you know, what people are doing in their gardens at this time, each time of year, each season. So it's a great tool.
And I got to chime in on that, because actually our last club meeting, there were people speaking up I'd never even seen before and involved in the conversation. And it was just definitely coming off of that Discord. And then I should mention Nathan and Mike put together a collecting trip at the end of February. And, you know, so our Yamadori channel has been crazy busy with everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Is this butted out? So it's cool.
Everyone's taking like super zoomed in pictures of like a tiny little green bud on I've seen that. Yeah. Is this doing fine? When do I start fertilizing? What should I do? You know? You gotta love that though. That's cool that you guys have y'all's Yamadori thread set up on there, because that's something that people get really excited about too. And that was how I'm starting to plan out, you know, I do Yamadori trips for the nursery every year, and that just made it so seamless. And now those same people, I can go back to that thread and be like, Yamadori trip of 2024, what are our trees looking like? And that's awesome, you know. So speaking of Yamadori, I've always just been really interested in native plants and stuff. Like whenever I was over in Austin, I actually got to meet this gentleman named Joey McCoy. A shout out to him. He was a really cool guy. I went to his house, saw his trees. He had a lot of Texas natives. And I was just like, wow, this is just so much more here. And I actually ended up getting a Texas persimmon. And I was unaware of that species until like just recently. But as far as like Yamadori and stuff, what are you guys collecting up where you guys are? I'm just interested, you know, a side note.
So we live in a really great place, actually, for some Yamadori. We have a lot of deciduous, mainly wooded areas. Mark Twain Forest is pretty much the whole southern half of Missouri. So there's a lot of public land that holds a ton of species. But we look at things like hornbeam, American hornbeam, hop hornbeam is really big around here. We have a lot of hackberry. Hackberry collecting is hard to find interesting trunks a lot of times. They typically like to grow ramrod straight and taperless. So if you can find hackberry that's been chewed up by cows and sheep and whatever else, they make some really nice trees, but otherwise they're a little bit difficult. We have some serviceberry, some dogwoods. We have there's a whole maples. There's several maples. A lot of people have been working with some of our native maple varieties to try to improve the characteristics of them. There's the only pine we have is shortleaf pine.
That's still a good pine. Yeah.
Yep. It's sometimes difficult to find them that are smaller. They tend to grow quite large in Missouri when they get a foothold. We have witch hazel, things like that. There's a lot of different, and we have a ton of oaks. We have so many oaks here. There's got to be some that are great for bonsai, and we need more people to try them out and figure out how to collect them. But we have a ton of white oaks, ton of red oaks everywhere around Missouri. So great choice. There's some bald cypress if you go down south.
go down south. Sorry.
south of St. Louis, at least.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't forget about the honeysuckle and privet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The invasives make such lovely bonsai.
Yeah.
Yeah, start tearing them out.
Yeah. It was fantastic going down there. I had not been on one of those trips with these guys, and man, there's some really great stuff out there. I got along the river and found some alder and some other interesting things that I couldn't even identify, and I'm generally pretty good at that, so we'll see what they leaf out and do.
So it sounds like go ahead, Carmen. I'm sorry.
I just want to shout out Jesse's super special native bonsai. Do you still have your poison ivy?
No. I got a really bad rash from that once. just kind of looking at it, and I was like, it was just like a knot. I think I sent you a picture of it once, but
yeah,
it was just sort of a novelty. And after a while, as my collection got better and better, it was just in the way. But I did get a forearm rash. I would put gloves on and then get old socks and run them up my forearm when I repot it.
Wow.
But yeah, 1 year it got me pretty good, and I was just like, all right, I'm done with this guy.
Jesse's been my inspiration for poisonous bonsai. I had a poison ivy back at the university collection for a little while. I need to get my hands on another, but while I'm in Oregon, I want to get a poison oak to take back with me, but I'm sure I'll regret it. But
yeah, you probably will. Crazy thing about that is I wrapped its roots around a rock. It was a root over rock poison ivy. Michael thought I was nuts.
Did y'all see the one that was at the national show this past year?
Yeah, that was cool.
No, I couldn't make it this year.
Yeah. When they brought it in, it had like a screen, like a little box built around it with little crawl, like skull and crossbones on it. It was like, please do not touch. It's pretty awesome. But yeah, love that kind of stuff. So it sounds like a lot of deciduous in y'all's range. But I'm sure y'all could probably do some conifers too. I've been told it's pretty fair up there for that type of stuff.
Yeah. You mean just like in our general gardens, not collected stuff?
Yeah. Or, stuff like, I mean, I'm still naive to certain ranges of stuff, like, so yeah. I mean, I've only talked to Carmen about it a good bit, about like if a mountain hemlock would last there, or if a Rocky Mountain juniper would work out for you guys, you know.
So Rocky Mountain juniper will live just fine in our climate. They tend to get a lot of fungal issues with our really high humidity in the summer, so as long as you can stay on top of that, then, you know, they do just fine here. We have a bunch of people with ponderosa pine, some other native pine species. Japanese black pine does really well in our climate, probably for those similar reasons that I mentioned, that the Rocky Mountain juniper sometimes struggle. A lot of white pine, Japanese white pine around. Jesse has some pretty good hinoki. We're kind of on the border of where spruce really thrive. It's a little bit too hot of summers here, but you can get them to live here.
I think one of the challenges here is the hot summer nights. We just think it, you know, we'll have a month of, you know, very little temperature degree change as you go overnight, and it's so darn humid.
Yeah.
You're used to that, Evan, probably.
Well, yeah, I'm over here. I'm having to like peek at a map really quick because I'm starting to feel a little like zone, not envy, but weirded out a little bit. Because, y'all are pretty far north of us. I mean, that area, like, I know Kentucky and Nashville and stuff, and all those areas up there can be very similar. It's a little bit more. It's a little rockier towards that other side, but St. Louis, I didn't know you guys got so humid and so many issues with like nighttime temperatures. That is like the biggest cause of stress on people here with their bonsai. In Louisiana, is like, there's just some species that just can't put up with it, like Satsuki azaleas and some Japanese maples, just completely get, you know, destroyed in the summertime because they just don't have that rest period. So Yeah, I'm sorry you guys also have to put up with it as well, but I know how you'll feel. But it also tells me that a lot of stuff that works for you also works for me as well. So we can probably jive on a lot of different species. So I'm expecting when I go up there to see y'all's show to see a great number of different trees that I would also be familiar with. But I know that you guys also talked about a lot of trees coming from outside. I want to come back to Bonsai Central a little bit more. Yeah. So because of the literal centralized nature of y'all's show and location, what are the reaches of people coming in from different states? Like, what do y'all's submissions from different areas look like?
Yeah, that's one of the fun parts, especially about springtime show, is that, you know, some things will be coming from the north, some things will be coming from the south, so we should see things in a lot of variation of leaf development, let's say, in growth for the year. I know there's stuff coming, you know, close to the border of Canada in Michigan, okay. And then, you know, all the way down, you're bringing some trees, Evan. So, yep. You know, down in Louisiana area and all the way in between out to the East Coast. And I think there's a couple coming in from as far away as Colorado. I don't know if anybody's driving anything across the mountain ranges. At least I don't have that off the top of my head. The Atlanta Club's been great. They've submitted quite a few trees, so they're bringing some really nice stuff up from there. As Jesse mentioned, we work a lot with Tyler Sherritt, and he works with the Atlanta Club, so we had a in there to get a bunch of those trees around. So it's been really nice that the community and the within several hundred miles of St. Louis has really supported the show, and they're all putting in some nice trees. So,
yeah, I'm excited of the prospect of this maybe becoming a more regular thing. I know you guys are just trying to get through the first year, but the idea of having kind of a, you know, high quality national level show in the middle of the country makes a lot of sense, first of all. And it's just kind of a easier for a lot of people to get to than all the way, you know, over in California or all the way up into New York. So it's going to be fun to see who else is able to show here that hasn't been able to make it to either of those locations. And yeah, because I think otherwise the most central show has really been like, you know, the Chicago show. But even that, you know, that's pretty far north and far east. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting. I'm really sad I can't come. I really want to. Maybe I can figure out a way to fly out for 24 hours. We'll see if I can finagle something.
We definitely have you. Oh. Yeah, unfortunately, this time there's a show the week before and a show week after within the general area. So I think some people have shows from traveling for those places, but you know, I'd expect some place like Texas to submit a lot of trees if we did this in the future.
Yeah, because
ABS is the following weekend, I think. So
it's Bonsai on the Bayou is happening in Houston the week before.
The week before, yeah. And then ABS is the following weekend, like you said, Carmen. So I know there's several people who have prepared trees to go to, you know, both those things, but then there's also a lot of people who said, I'm committed to this already, so you know, I'm not gonna submit trees to go to your show, but if you do it in the future, we would definitely be interested in doing it in the future. So a little bit unfortunate timing there, but I'm hoping that you know, if we do this in the future, that we can kind of avoid some of those overlapping shows back to back to back and be better for everybody.
But also how cool that there's three kind of huge shows 3 weekends in a row. Like that's pretty cool.
That is really cool. I mean,
it's, you know, it's as far as just Bonsai in the US goes, it's pretty amazing that there's going to be three huge shows.
I mean,
right in a row like that.
Bonsai. Oops, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead. I can't remember what I was going
to
say.
I was going to say a real Bonsai enthusiast would go to all three consecutively, like they were following a band or something. Yes. I mean,
are you going to all three, Evan? Or are you skipping Michigan?
I'm just doing Bonsai on the Bayou in Houston, and then I'm just going straight up to St. Louis. And dude, I will be I'll be, because I'm vendoring those and showing trees at both of those shows, which
I'm tired just thinking about.
Oh my gosh. So it's a stretch, but yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, it would be awesome to go all the to all those shows, but yeah, it would be more ideal if they were, you know, a couple, maybe 2 weeks apart from each other, but spring is just the time to just start getting in there and, you know, showing those trees right when they're looking fresh. So it's understandable. As opposed to our national show in New York, where that hits in September. And honestly, guys, like, if you guys keep doing it this time of year, please keep doing that, because September is the hardest month for me to show trees.
Yeah, it's a hard time for benefit. A lot of people. Yeah, go earlier or later.
Yeah, it's so brutal. I know they tend to have a mild September there, and it's like, okay, good, we're over the summertime. But for you guys said the summer is kind of wicked. I mean, is September still kind of hot for you around that time?
It can be. Yeah, it can be pretty nasty. Some years it's beautiful. Our fall is usually very long and just stunning. But yeah, it can be pretty brutal even into September sometimes, and really difficult on us as growers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
yeah, one of the hard parts about being in St. Louis is that our seasons are not predictable whatsoever. And we could have very mild winters, we could have very cold winters. We could have fall that starts in September, we'd have fall starts in November or is, you know, peaking in November. So it's difficult for us to figure out that timing situation like that, because we have a lot of weather variability.
Yeah.
The good old Midwest.
Feel that.
Yeah, good old Midwest. Yeah, I like to say, if you don't like the weather in Missouri, just wait 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
I call it the transition zone, and it truly is. I think in St. Louis, we're now 6B, or I think they just moved us up to 7A. I don't know. It's crazy. It's super tough. In fact, it might freeze tonight still, they're saying. You know, a month ago, we had a week along in 80s. So,
oh my gosh. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So bizarre.
Our shuffle season is very long, let's just say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, yeah, I've been working out moving trees.
Yeah, dude. I was going to say too, is like with the bone size shuffle, a lot of people don't start understanding the bone size shuffle until they move to that next level of like thinking about caring for their trees and being conscientious about when buds are starting to set, and then when you get that first flush and stuff. And then March comes along in Louisiana and we get a sudden cold snap when it, like you guys said, it had been like 80 degrees the week before. And so, yeah, it's just like you kind of start looking at yourself like you've been eating for the holidays, and you get out and you start like working it off for the bone size shuffle time of the year. It's usually it's kind of funny. It's like when some of my friends look at me and they're like, dude, you've been hitting the gym. I'm like, yeah, trust me. It's
carrying trees.
Yeah. The trees have been doing it.
Yep.
But yeah, it's awesome that you guys are putting on this time of year, like I was mentioning. And I know there's so many other possibilities for times of the year to put on a bone size show. Of course, you can do, like you said, like the fall there should be really great for you guys. But then the fall is not like as predictable for you guys. And also it could line up kind of weird with other people's fall season. Mm-hmm. Correct. And then the winter silhouette show would be, you know, pretty interesting, too. So just, I guess, a quick question. Y'all might have mentioned it a few times, but a little bit more in depth, like why? Not because of like, why is it so close to the other shows? We already know that. That's just how timing works. But why in particular did you guys want to do this time of year in the spring?
Well, initially it's kind of a long story, actually. We were supposed to initially, before the pandemic, host a show with MABA. They were really interested in doing that after a number of them had come to our ABS show, which was a great success. That was in 2018. We talked about that earlier. Mm-hmm. And then the pandemic hit. We postponed, we pushed, we kind of just tried to figure out how's this going to work. And then, you know,
sorry to interrupt, Jesse, but MABA also postponed their show they kept pushing their Milwaukee show back because of the pandemic, like into the section where we were going to have our show. So
yeah, they had one show in front of us. And so they were pushing that. So we were pushing ours, but we had already reserved this convention center. And so once it came, once we kind of came out of it, you know, we had a contract signed and we were just kind of looking at like, how are we going to do this? And they were pretty flexible with us. It was initially supposed to happen in 23 and I wanted to cancel the thing because there was no way we were going to, with the timeline, get it all organized. We took a vote. Everybody said they would help out and, we really came together. And so we put it for 2024. And of course, this was the only date that worked. But when we had set that date, we didn't realize how many other events were going on. A lot of those weren't announced. And so it was just kind of a bummer that that's going on because we're going to miss some of the faces that we like to see and friends. But, you know, I think in the future, we might try to time it out a little different, as we were saying, just kind of key in on some of those primo times that maybe might fall outside of some of the other shows.
And I personally like when there's, like I mentioned earlier, the variation in the leaf form, when you get some that are completely without leaf and then some that are fully in leaf. And being in the middle of the country and trying to draw people from both north and south, we have the advantage that we can do that from time to time. I think we had our choice, we would have done it a couple weeks earlier into April. And if we did it in the future, it'd probably be somewhere mid-April to late April. But I think we'd probably continue to do it in the spring sometime because that works really well into our schedule since we have, as Jesse mentioned, the Japanese festival every September and put in a lot of effort for that as well every year.
Yeah. And you get the opportunity to see some flowers, which I feel like a lot of the big shows that happen, you know, in the winter, the fall, you're past flowering. So it'll be fun to see some azaleas and some, maybe some crab apples or, you know, something.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool.
Yeah. We can grow azaleas around here, Evan. So we will have, we'll have some of those in the show. So
awesome. So somebody else will bring them in for you, but, and that's, it's kind of interesting. Like, saying that you guys wouldn't mind seeing trees without their leaves fully opened or even buds completely broken just yet. So, I mean, and it's hard to tell people what type of show they should expect to put on. I mean, if somebody was like, I'm going to show this tree in silhouette, you guys would be totally fine with that too, I'm assuming.
Definitely.
Yeah. So that's kind of one of the things that's hard to get across. And I know that trees will go to other shows in different times of the year, representing different seasons. But I mean, everyone usually like more of the, you know, and it should be a little bit more obvious with certain species that you want your tree to show what season it is. But there are some flexibilities, of course, with like the deciduous trees can always be done that way, where if it's going to look better this time around, that, you know, completely defoliate it, then maybe give it that shot and show off your ramification on your branches. That's really cool. I know that's something they do in Florida, and some Florida shows, they have so many tropicals and not a lot of deciduous to sport. And so every once in a while you'll see like some of these really fine twigged tropicals in there completely defoliated just for the sake of being able to appreciate that. So it's an interesting take, you know, and I think it should be encouraged much more often in different types of shows like this too. So something, a little bit of brain food there.
Yeah, that would be really cool to see. You know, being in the beginning of May, it's unfortunate a lot of our things have just about hardened off at that point. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know, a lot of things you wouldn't want to defoliate, but maybe you might see Trident Maple or something like that, because I know people that are already considering wanting to defoliate Trident Maples. They woke up really early this year here.
So I'm curious, what were you looking for when you were selecting your artists to bring in for the workshops and the education series? Like, did you have a specific something in mind when you were choosing people?
Yeah, I think we just really wanted to spread it all across the board, all across the country. We definitely reached out to people that had already been booked, or, you know, were kind of on the fence of whether or not they'd be available. So, you know, we knew we had to commit pretty quick, but we wanted to represent the entire United States if we could. And then we pulled in, you know, a couple foreigners, and we really were hoping to, you know, get a woman involved or more. So we were really excited that Maria Hajik said she would come. Mm-hmm. I think it's her first time traveling here. We're cool. Excited.
That's so awesome. Yeah. And you guys nailed the lineup too. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, with Maria, that's exciting to know that's her first time here. And that's the kind of stuff that those type of gateways need to be open for that type of thing in the bonsai world and the communities, you know. Like, I mean, I've been looking at her stuff for a long time, and I'm like, I'm actually get to like meet her and see her work in person. That's amazing, you know. So it's just really cool. And like you said, like reaching out, I know a lot of these people got booked, and I'm like, I'm surprised at the lineup that you guys got, I'm gonna be honest. So this should be great. For the listeners, go over to Bonsai Central. That's bonsai-central.com. And it's like right on the landing page. You scroll down, you see the headliners. I'm just like, cool. Okay, that's awesome. So
yeah, it's going to be really good.
Hey, everyone. This is John Eads, founder of Left Coast Bonsai and proud supporter of the Little Things for Bonsai People podcast. I'm breaking into your feed today to let you know about a few exciting things we're doing here at Left Coast Bonsai. We're a small, family-owned bonsai nursery that's focused on producing high-quality bonsai plant material, as well as sourcing hard-to-find supplies for growing in your own yard. For many of us, winter is a time to pause and reflect on the year ahead. Now's a good time to decide what seedlings and supplies you need for the upcoming season. We have a large selection of seedlings that will begin shipping out mid-February for our spring season. You can also order baskets, felt bags, or aluminum wire. In addition to the seedlings and supplies, I also teach classes and study groups on a broad range of subjects, including growing trees from scratch. I hope to hear from you soon and would love to talk about how we can support your bonsai growing journey. You can find us online at leftcoastbonsai.com, on Instagram at leftcoastbonsai, or send me an email at talk@leftcoastbonsai.com. Cheers!
This podcast is supported by Bonsai Bar, the beginner bonsai workshop popping up in breweries all across the Northeast. Bonsai Bar is 2 hours of tiny tree goodness disguised as a night out with friends. Come grab drinks, create a new tree, and watch as your friends and family get the bug for bonsai. Bonsai Bar is always looking for teachers and assistants, and you listen to this podcast, so you're probably already qualified. Bring your knowledge out to the bar. Apply today. Find event tickets, contact info, and more at bonsaibar.com.
Yeah, it was fun to brainstorm all the artists that we wanted to have and figure out how to best divide them amongst all the things that we wanted to talk about and show. Tyler, like I said, we work with all the time, so he was easy one. Bjorn had done our convention in 2018, so we had some communication with him before and knew that he'd probably be up for it. Andrew used to be in our club, so
I didn't know that.
He was also another one that we wanted.
I think he's still a paid member.
Oh, is he?
I don't think he pays him family membership.
Nice,
awesome. Yeah.
And then we really wanted those, you know, sort of people that we didn't get much exposure to in the U.S., which is why we splurged to get Maria in and have her part of the show as well. So
yeah,
we're really excited about them all. We've got some pretty crazy events coming up, trying to utilize 6 people at once, which is difficult to say the least. So we're going to try some new things. They might not work. They might be a smashing success. We'll see. But it's going to be a new experience, something that probably hasn't been done much around bonsai circles. So we'll see how it goes.
Yep. Yeah. Are you having a concurrent demo? Is that one of the things that's happening? So you're having all the artists do work at the same time. That's going to be very fun.
We have 2 concurrent demos. So
Oh, wow.
One Friday, one Saturday. The okay. one Friday is a little bit more traditional, where each artist will get one piece of material to work on, and they'll kind of work on that for the whole demo time. Mm-hmm. And the one on Saturday is the really non-traditional one, in which each artist will have 10 minutes on the tree, and then it's going to be passed to the next artist.
That's so fun.
Wow. Okay. Love that. Good idea.
That's going to be great. Like
we call it speed dating. So
yeah. I definitely had my doubts at first, but then we started really thinking about, okay, well, what kind of material would work for that? Because at first it was kind of like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, use? So
we have some pretty cool, well-rounded stuff selected for that. I think it's going to actually be really cool. Thanks for convincing me, Nathan.
That's going to be really fun. I'm very excited to see how that turns out.
Yeah, Jesse was worried that the first artist was just going to cut off all the branches. Then the next guy was just going to, or girl was just going to look at it and be like, well, what do I do with this now? But
yeah, it's like, who's going to get stuck with the wiring?
Exactly.
Everybody's got to wire two branches right. or something.
It's gonna be a little game of pot potato of like who gets to do what on the tedious work on these trees.
like a white elephant, where like the last person or the first person to work on it gets to like have the last pick of you know the item. Like they get the tree again for 10 minutes to fix what everybody else screwed up.
Good idea. Yeah, they each will get to start with one, and they each will be everywhere through the process. So,
oh, okay, so everybody gets a tree and gets to, okay, because I thought it was just one tree, but it's
no,
okay.
it's there's six trees,
and
I think Young Cho is going to try to put together a kusumono for each one as well.
That's going to be super fun.
She might have the hardest job of anyone.
Yeah,
we might have to pay her a little more.
Is she aware?
No, awesome.
She's really excited about it.
She's willing to do anything.
Yeah, I was about to say she's probably like, yes, let's do that. I've seen her enthusiasm before, but that's a lot. And what's the scale of the kusumono? Is she gonna? She's just gonna use her intuition and make big ones or small ones, however she feels. That's kind of what you guys are looking at.
Yeah, I'm sure for that portion of it, they're going to be pretty small.
Okay. I didn't know if y'all were expecting variation like that.
No, just for that portion, it's going to be pretty small. But for the one where she has the whole time, I'm expecting her to do a larger piece for that. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, her compositions are awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the auction may be very successful of all those trees, or it may not. We'll see how this works out.
I think it's a great idea, though. That's something I'll have to bring up to our local clubs, because we're doing ABS at the New Orleans Club a couple of years, and they're kind of they're not at a loss, but they're like scrambling around looking for material and kind of thinking about how they're going to do things. And that just sounds like a great way to give the crowd something different, because sometimes demos can be a little bit like, unless you're in it and you know the material or you know the artist and you just really want to, you know. But if you're brand new to Bonsai and you sit down in front of this person that is just doing some high level stuff and you're like, what is this? But then you throw a different angle at this and you're like, oh, well, I'm done with this for now. Let's pass this over to Tyler now. And you're like, wait, what? That's actually really cool. So kudos to you guys for coming up with that. And so tell us about some of the other things that are going to be happening at Bonsai Central. I know we've been pretty, you know, talking in circles around here, but yeah, we want to talk more about the show, of course. So just kind of get through some of the stuff that also is going to be happening. I know you said about the round tables. Tell us about those.
Yeah, round tables. I'm super interested in hearing about that.
So we have, I think there's three different round tables that we're going to have. And the first one's going to be transitioning raw collected or field grown trees to Bonsai. And this is something that a lot of people in our club are interested about and that we work on quite a bit. And so it's going to be just, you know, different tips and techniques and tricks from the artist about making that big leap to get it from some place where it's growing fast to some place that's growing a little bit slower. And we're excited to pick their brains, hear about it. go around the room, ask questions, things like that. So that'll be the first one. And then we have, you know, you were mentioning natives. We're going to have a North American natives panel where we discuss kind of the things that we've been working with in this area and what from whatever other areas that are represented when we go there. Yep. And the final one will be a potters roundtable. A lot of the potters have agreed that are coming into Bend have agreed to kind of hold a question and answer session about their process and clays and glazes. And
that's awesome.
We have a budding group of members in our club that we follow on Discord that have been making pots and getting a lot better very quickly. And I know that this is one of the ones that they're most interested in. So anybody who's getting into doing that, they would probably find a lot of value in being able to, you know, pick Now's brain or something like that, or April.
Yeah, dude, I just had Byron Myrick on the previous episode, and that's my boy. That's my dude. You know, he does a lot of really awesome work down here. It's cool to see that him with Now, and then I've seen Vicky Chamberlain and April Grigsby's works just from, you know, looking at y'all's promotional images with them and stuff. And that they're excellent potters too. And I love that you guys are featuring the potters on that level too, you know, cause the bonsai artists are great, but that's not every once in a while not every time that you see a featured potter. I've seen them every once in a while, but having a round table is very, very smart. So that we need to really build up the pottery community. And cause I have a couple of people that have talked to me down here about, what do you need to do to get into bonsai pottery? And I've always encouraged that, of course. So that was a really cool thing that you guys are doing there. So yeah, those the roundtables. We talked about y'all's demos and stuff. So as far as the awards, I saw y'all have a pretty nice little award payout there. So what are what's the tiers of awards that you guys are presenting?
Nathan's way more familiar with this than I, because we've gone around and around on how we wanted to do this, and we've had a couple different ideas based on, you know, if there's only one showing submission, how do we do that, and, you know, stuff like that. So Nathan, you can take this one away.
Yeah, I see how you're slowly backing out of the room on that one. I haven't officially posted the categories and things like that that we're going to do. We have a pretty large grand prize. I think it's $2,500 is the grand prize for the best in show. We know that one is definitely going to be there. And then we're trying to use the rest of submissions to try to make sort of equal categories amongst the rest of them, so that every tree has about the same percentage of winning one of those prizes and is competing against around the same amount of trees, which is difficult.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So we likely are going to give out like a best pine and a best juniper award, and then kind of group some of the deciduous together, because that's those three sort of have about the same amount of trees. So we're looking at those categories. There's going to be a native prize for best native tree. And I must be missing one or two others, because I think there was a six when Shoheen, as Jesse said.
And Kusumono, I believe there's going to be a prize for Kusumono.
Yeah. And you mentioned that Joshua Roth sponsors your show. They also are sponsoring the grand prize. So they, it's going to be the, you know, Joshua Roth best in show.
There you go. They're also doing a best classical award for Say Bonsai this weekend. So yeah, that's so cool that John of Joshua Roth is so interactive like that. So yeah, with the judging and stuff, I know this is probably another thing. It's like, this is going to be something
complicated.
Yeah. It's like a monotonous thing. I might be instilling fear in you guys, asking y'all about how will the judging go down. Have y'all figured that out yet?
We're not allowed to talk about that.
Not just yet. Okay. No spoilers.
I don't know if Nathan wants to say anything on that.
Okay. We can keep them. If you guys don't want to say anything, we, you know.
No, the artists are going to help out a lot with the judging. And the biggest portion of the judging is going to fall on their shoulders to kind of decide which trees are the best.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Trying to look for a way to maybe have some involvement with, you know, the people that are attending the show as well for, you know, one or two of the prizes or something.
Yeah, we can't decide if we want to make that a proportion of the judging or if we want to make it its own separate thing, like
like People's Choice.
Like, yeah. Award. Yeah.
So, I'm running the People's Choice at say Bonesai as well, and I think the People's Choice Award is very interesting. I think it's something that should be run at more shows. It just kind of tells you, like, because there is the professional judging. You know, that's always going to be, you know, very academic, like, looked at. It's like, oh, this is how this is supposed to be. And they're looking at, you know, branch placement and cleanliness of pots and mosses and wire, you know, placement on branches and stuff. But People's Choice is really interesting. It's something that we talk about on... you know, on the show, we'll talk about, like, what does the general public think about your show, about your tree, and stuff. And it's, you know, I even know people they'll put a tree in a show and then they'll stand nearby just to hear what, you know, just a regular person would say about their tree, that somebody's not, you know, looked at their trees. And so that's always been a really interesting thing to kind of rate trees off of, because it's just like, what kind of impact does the tree make? It could be a great very technical bonsai, but to a regular viewer of it, does it make sense? You know, and it could get that recognition in that way. I think that's a very interesting way to go about it.
In my experience, People's Choice and Best in Show are very different trees, and it's super interesting to see how subjective people are when they're picking their favorite. It's interesting. It's super interesting.
What have you found? What have you
People tend to go for something that gives them a lot of feeling rather than what's necessarily the best bonsai. They like forests.
The best. Yeah.
Yeah. Forests a lot. That's been my impression. Something that makes them remember a place that they've been. More so than anything else.
Yep. Forest plantings. I was just going to say, forest plantings are usually like that wow factor for people who are looking at it like that. Like, oh, how did, you know, not just one tree, multiple trees. And then imagine if a forest planting was like flowering, you know, like that's like my other thing is like flowers usually amaze people.
Yeah, flowers are popular too.
But yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that I tend to enjoy sort of abnormal forms more than I think are normally awarded, let's say. So I can get that, how people would enjoy different things. You know, I really like slanting styles, just stuff like that, really dramatic.
There's definitely some differences too. Evan mentioned, you know, listening to other people, just kind of standing there to hear it. And, you know, we have our Japanese festival, which is people that have never experienced bonsai coming through. I mean, we have 30,000 people come through, which is crazy.
That's a lot of
exposure.
So you hear some really weird commentary in there, and then a show like this, you know, it's mostly bonsai practitioners, and so you hear a little different commentary in there, and then it's going to be really interesting to hear see what comes out as far as a People's Choice Award.
If it's more bonsai people making those choices and not just, you know, anybody who comes through the door, you might have it'll end up probably being somewhere in between.
Yeah. It'll give you this weird kind of like on average kind of choice. So like your high level bonsai practitioners are going to be like, that's good. And then your people that are just coming in that want to just see bonsai and they think it's awesome. And they're like, that's cool. You know, and so it's going to be like that cool and good factor mixed together, which is that kind of tells you where people are looking at that level of bonsai. Like if they can understand it without having to understand the complicated parts of it, I'm a little bit more like like zoomed in on like the spirit of bonsai. I tend to be a little bit more hippie about those kind of things, you know, but I do enjoy those aspects better.
I think the longer you do it, the more you really start valuing the technical aspect of it, or a super highly ramified deciduous tree that you know you can't do in 5 years. It's been a 25 year plus process to get it to where it is. It's hard to separate the two in your mind once you've been around for a really long time in this, and like tried to do that yourself basically. But go ahead.
You had something else.
No, I was going to say, so I think that the maybe the longer you're around the art form, the more you value those sort of things, and you don't just get caught up in a really twisty juniper trunk and get amazed by that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Not that those aren't cool too. I love those too.
I struggle with that sometimes in my personal collection. You know, I've been doing this a long time now, and a lot of my things are really highly ramified, really high quality. And I'm like, man, I just want to get back to creating something from nothing. And I make sure to build forests and other things every year. But sometimes I want to throw the best over the fence and, you know, start over. But it's really difficult. You get stuck with maintenance, and sometimes that creativity goes away, and you're just, you know, at that form, and you know, how sometimes you consider, how could I change this very nice bonsai just to have something different?
Yeah, for sure.
That's
Jesse's plague, that he's so good at taking care of trees.
Yeah,
all of a sudden he has way too much work to do on the maintenance side.
No. What I'm saying is, like, I get bored kind of sometimes with the once they're in a really high quality state. It's like, okay, I've pushed this thing, and now there's a few tweaks here and there, but it's like I want to bend something backwards.
Yeah, I mean, in my job back at the university, and now working with Michael, like, most of what I do is maintenance. And so a lot of my own personal stuff is really young stuff in development, or, you know, I really relish those days where I get a piece of raw material and it's like, okay, make a bonsai. It's a totally different feeling than maintenance. So I totally see what you're saying there.
You know what a really great feeling is getting like a freshly rooted cutting from like the previous season and putting that first wire on there. And I was thinking about like how he's, you know, how Jesse's talking about this, how he's like, oh, the maintenance. I'm like over here and I'm running, you know, my nursery, and I get to work on the material every day, and I don't get to see those perspectives a lot, you know? But I mean, like, also you could just get some fresh stock and just have some stumps sitting around too that you can grow out and work on and stuff. I mean, and it just depends on what you're willing to develop and put up with in your collection as well. I could, you know, I'm getting to a point too where I'm like, I love having developed and ramified trees in my collection, but the maintenance is monotonous. But I mean, if I can walk over and, you know, cut a few branches off of a tree that I'm just trying to literally blow out and develop the bones for it, and it takes me a couple of moments, and then I've got to spend, you know, a couple of hours pinching and fine wiring out the other tree next to it. I mean, it gets to that point sometimes. I see that.
Yeah. I'll just come do the maintenance. I love that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Have at it.
My favorite place in people's gardens are always kind of the back areas where they're propagating and, you know, doing all that stuff, which I certainly have. Every propagate something. And, you know, I feel like just about everybody does. And I feel like it's definitely something we are all charged with for the future generations. It's like, hey, if we know how to do it, if we have good material, like, you know, or great varieties, we should be propagating that and progressing our art form. So I can't help it. I always end up buying like 15 of one thing every year, and I'm like, man, why did I buy those? And, you know, about 4 years later, you know, they're distributed out in the club and you start seeing some really cool stuff. So
that's awesome to hear.
Jesse always gets extra excitement out of a project that, you know, comes together. He He's showing a Chinese quince at the show, but he also has been bringing one into the club that he completely hacked back. It was maybe 2 feet long, trunks, and he hacked them all the way back in to 8 or 9 inches each, and has been showing how he wires them out and how they've been thickening, and how he's building that transition of taper to the next one. It's been really great for the club, I think, to see, especially someone of Jesse's level still working on stuff that he's, restarting basically from nothing, and how quickly he can bring it along. I think it's good to have a balance. You got to have some that are fully ramified that, teaches you those skills, because that's a whole separate skill set. But then you got to keep developing stuff and bringing it along, and if you have too much, give it away.
I
gotta say about that Chinese quince real quick, that species will confound like the beginners, like it's crazy, because I've been able to chop this giant tree back to a trunk and grow up branches with 5-6 feet, and then cut them back all within a year and a half, it's going to be another half year I do it, but not every tree will do that, but this thing certainly will. And as a learning tool, holy cow, it's been pretty cool. I think it probably set expectations a little high with it's like, well, what about this little maple here? It's like, yeah, it's not going to do it that way, but kind of a cool species for education for sure, because it's fast.
And I feel like a lot of different areas have that one species. Of course, ours would be like the bald cypress here. There it is. I can't go an episode without saying that.
Mention the bald cypress.
Shut up. All right. So, but anyway, yeah, there's always that quick species that teaches you things really, just compounds really fast. You can grow, like you said, you grow a branch out and you get it like a couple of feet long, and in like just that one grow season, you're like, all right, well, here's a good way to show the crowd how to, work that branch back really quick, and how to develop this tree. And we do a lot of cutting down larger trees here, like cypresses and elms and stuff, and then carving them and then growing out the top and healing the wound. And so that's all rinse and repeat kind of stuff here that we do quite a bit in the South. The South as far as, Louisiana, Texas South. I know it's way different in different parts of the country, where there's certain species that have to be treated certain ways. And then there's that one golden child kind of species, like, oh, I can do whatever I really would like to do this, and then I can also teach on it very easy. And I think those are very valuable. And obviously those should be some of the more mastered species in y'all's area too. Y'all should have spectacular versions of that particular species, if it's that workable, of course,
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of rambling.
Trident maple everywhere.
No, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Trident maple is like X. Trident maple, it's like fits in that slot. Yep. Right.
Yeah. Trident maple. There you go.
Yeah. So, So I think we're kind of coming towards the end here. Wouldn't you believe it? We've been talking for over an hour now. Time flies whenever you're just chatting and having fun,
Is there anything else you guys wanted to mention about the show before we?
Shout out what y'all need to.
Well, one thing we should mention, I guess we kind of touched on it, but we are trying to publish a book, make sure everybody's getting their trees shown in this book. With as many trees as are coming, photographers are going to be pretty darn busy when you break it down to a 10-minute session. It's like, we have 75, 80 trees right now, maybe.
Oh, good. Good for you guys.
Rotating those in and out. I'm gonna enlist a couple of my teenage boys to help move some of those trees, I think. And really, just I want to throw it out there, the volunteers that have helped out, that's just amazing. We couldn't do it without them. So I just have to shoot a thank you out there. It's gonna take a lot of people. And so our club's really stepped up for this. We're really proud to present it to the greater bonsai community, and we're excited for all those of you that are coming. Carmen, try to come, please.
I'll try.
Put
send Michael an email, tell him I have to be there.
Yeah, I'll text Mike.
Yeah, y'all can orchestrate that problem.
And yeah, I think our auctions and raffles and stuff are going to be a lot of fun too. We found some pretty interesting things. You know, we do have a long history here. And so there's some pretty cool stuff that has been donated. So we're looking forward to that aspect of it as well. And just the community of people we have, we're pretty full of registrants. So. Awesome.
Yeah, we've got a really nice vendor list coming. I don't think we talked about them too much, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. we've got really nice potters coming. We've got some trees sellers coming.
And
like Evan. Mm-hmm. He's coming to sell some stuff, and
I might sell a few things. It's fine.
But are you going to bring Bold Cypress?
No. Actually, I think I'll just bring a bunch of Trident Maples. I probably will. But yeah, shout out to some. Like, I know we do it in the little ad that we put together on the show here. But you guys kind of tell us a couple of the vendors and stuff that y'all are looking forward to. Well, tell us some of the shout outs for those.
Okay. You know, I'm
pop quiz.
I'm really obviously now Tokutake's coming. I'm really looking forward to him. Mm-hmm. April Grigsby's coming. Byron's coming. So, you know, from a potter standpoint, those are the ones that I'm really looking at. Hidden Gardens is coming. Brussels is coming for general, you know, tree sale type mm-hmm. stuff. Greenwich Gardens is coming as well. They're also submitted a tree, so they're gonna
awesome
show a big large at the show. Waldo Street Pottery is also coming.
Yeah, wanted to mention Eli's coming.
Sweet.
We got a couple local vendors that are coming, and there's some stand makers that are coming. We have started a little bit of a collaboration with the local community college, the Clay Club. We've gotten them into making pots. They're going to be there and show some of their student made pots, be very affordable, but they're trying to send their students to Japan to learn more about making bonsai pots. And so we are supporting them there. And there's all sorts of anything you want in bonsai.
Yeah.
We hope to have a supplier for that at the convention. So
cool.
It's going to be great. One of the things that we've really struggled with as a organizing committee is working on the balance between, I don't know how to say it, I guess bringing people in that want to experience the educational side of things and bringing in enough people to support the vendors of the show. And it's kind of a double-edged sword. So we've been throwing around some ideas of how to do both of those things. And we probably will have some updates coming in the next couple of weeks about that. But we're working out a way to allow a little bit lower price point of admission to help support some of these vendors that are there for a general admission sort of thing. And we're trying to work out how to make that fair between those that have, you know, signed up for the full registration and the general admission audience. We have a few ideas in the works. Probably going to be a sort of delayed admission sort of thing where you only have access to the show and the vendors, and it's sometime Saturday late morning when you're allowed access, so that those that did pay for the registration, you know, will still have a day and a half of privileged access to all the material and vendors. And of course, they'll also then have access to the demos and the dinners, which is a big cost of the ticket. Anyway,
raffles, auctions, all that.
All come with the full registration. But then we have had an outpouring of requests from people to just come see the show and visit the vendors. So we're trying to work that in similar to how the Nationals and the Expo do it. And we should have something announced about that coming up. But we're still working it out as the board, the best way to do that.
I think like you said, limited access and probably timed access, because, you know, we want, you know, our friends, our neighbors, people like that to be able to come and experience seeing bonsai at that level and maybe, you know, maybe want to get into it, but certainly wouldn't come for the educational aspect or anything like that.
Right.
It's a hard thing to balance, and it's been one of the biggest struggles for the whole convention. Yeah. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I think it's a great idea. It makes a lot of sense giving, you know, folks who've paid the full fee, the access, the early access to the vendors and the show. And then of course, everything that comes with the ticket. But having it open to just the general public, I think is a great way to get more people to see bonsai and to get involved, because I mean, there's going to be so many people who are going to go just to see the trees who are going to end up buying something because they're like, wow, this is really fun. I want to do this. And I think that's a fair way, you know, a fair way to do it. It's kind of like how they have run it at ABS where, you know, if they're holding it at a public garden or something, people can come in and look at it for, you know, whatever the price of admission is. They just don't have access to whatever else is part of the, you know, the learning seminars or the workshops or whatever. So, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Originally we weren't going to pursue that because we, didn't want to be gatekeepers the whole time. We wanted to enjoy the show. We didn't want people to have to be like, you're not supposed to be here. So,
yeah,
like get out of here. Like we didn't want to have to deal with that. So, you know, but I think there's just so much demand for it. People asking for things like that, that it's going to be something that we're going to have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, is it too late to register for any of y'all's classes? Or because I was going to say, you want to tell everybody that's listening, if there's anyone local, they were like just now hearing about this, that they are just now hearing about it and listening to our show. I don't think they've been paying attention all that much, but any like recent people listening, where is there registration left open? People can go over to bonsai-central.com. Is there anything left?
Yeah, there's, you know, anybody can still register. The registration is certainly still open. Cool. I still get some almost every day, somebody registering to come. I think that a lot of the workshops are sold out, but not all of them. There's still a few spaces available in some of the workshops. There's a couple outstanding that the people haven't paid, so they might be released back. So keep looking at the website because there might be some that get re-released. But if you go to register on the website, our web guru Christian has really put a lot of time into it. So as soon as you click on the dates you want to register for, it will show you all the workshops that are available. And it's very straightforward and intuitive. So,
cool.
And if you go on there too, you'll see the schedule. We did really fill out that schedule with the roundtables we were discussing, with some pop-up demos. One of the cool things you can sign up for is Q&A sessions, where people are bringing in critique trees. So you people pay to bring in a tree. Bjorn will critique it for 10 minutes. The audience can listen to his thoughts on your tree. So there's stuff to do all day long, and that all comes with the registration, which is pretty cool. Like you don't need a workshop in order to get a huge amount of education out of this. And of course the fun parties at night or the dinner.
Yeah. So that's awesome.
Oh, go ahead. Clicked on it. There's still a few exhibit walkthroughs, spaces remaining, there's a few trident clump workshops remaining with Maria. Those are some pretty cool tridents. Jesse's been sitting on those and developing those for years. Jesse, haven't you been working on those for a long time?
Yeah, they're just coming out of winter storage. We're gonna, you know, check everything out, do it once over. But yeah, it's nice material. Just like everything else we're offering. So I think, you know, you're set up to have a nice tree in the future, and something fun to work on.
Yeah. So you guys are doing a really awesome thing. Y'all sounds like this is set up to be a great show. I you know, it hasn't happened yet, but I feel like it already should be saying congratulations on it, but you don't know until it happens, of course. But from what we can see and all the events and all the vendors and the guests, artists, and all the stuff, the wonderful things that we talked about today, very excited for you guys. And I mean, I'm excited that I get to be part of it too. I get to go vendor there, and I'm looking forward to seeing all these beautiful trees in person and meeting all these beautiful bonsai people in person, of course. And yeah, just sounds like it's going to be great vibes. So I know you guys, like you said, like anyone that's interested, I know this episode's going to drop. This is the week of the 26th, so this will be a little bit later from that. So there's still plenty of time from this episode's release. I think there will be about, 4 or 5 weeks? Got to use my brain here. Nope, that's a little bit long. It's a little bit longer than that. Yep, Nope, that's Bonesite on the Bayou first, and then Bonesite Central for me. So yeah, mm-hmm. That's a month and some change then. But yeah, you guys go check it out. Please go over to bonesite-central.com. You've heard me say it several times before, but this is it. We're on the last month before the big show happens, guys. So it's gonna be great. I know you guys also started up an Instagram recently, correct? I saw it pop up, and I started following it. So go over to Instagram and follow Bonesite Central. I'm sure there will be plenty of coverage after the show is over as well there. Is that what I'm assuming, right?
Definitely, yep.
Cool.
A lot of stuff going up on there leading up to the show. Just keep following there for updates and what's going on.
Awesome.
There is a lot of space available in the Bring Your Own Tree with Maria, which surprises me. I think that one got changed around. She was originally going to do something else, and then she requested to do a Bring Your Own Tree workshop. So like a personal request, because she said that's her favorite way to work with people is to work with them directly, work on their trees, talk about the things that they've already been doing. And I know from hearing about her work in past experiences that she really goes all out in making sure that people are satisfied with the time that they spend with her in those workshops. So
that's one of my favorite ways to work too. I think that's super valuable. So people jump on that, because when else are you going to work with a professional, you know, one-on-one with your tree? That's amazing.
Yeah. Especially Maria, who might not be back stateside for a while.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
I have to see. Yeah. But yeah, thank you guys so much for hanging out, talking the show with us. Like we've been going back to it and saying, like, go over to the website, check out the registration. Like they said, if you're looking for a particular workshop and you're like, oh man, it looks like it's sold out. Like they said, there's some outstanding accounts still on that. So there could be some ships and you could get lucky and fetch one of those workshop spots, or one of the walkthroughs, or, you know, or one of the roundtable events, or whatever you're looking to do, go over there and register for sure. Like I said, thank you guys for being on and hanging out with us. I know it's always cool to talk to new people about bonsai and pick their brains and see how things are going. And it's even cooler to know that, like, you know, this is going into an even bigger thing, which we, like you said, don't want to jump the gun on it and be like, okay, this is the start of a big show. But it's from the sounds of it, you guys are building the framework for something that could be very special for a while. So I wish you guys a lot of luck. Like I said, I'm putting on my show that is a fraction of what you guys are putting on, so I can only imagine. But I wish you guys a lot of luck on this.
Well, thanks for having us on. It was really fun.
Yeah, it was great to chat with you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Norman. Thanks, Evan. That was a lot of fun chatting with you guys. So look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah,
for sure.
And like we said in the past, guys, you can go over to underhillbonesai.com and check out my stuff. You can go over and follow us on Instagram. And yeah, really quick, Carmen, where can they check out your stuff real quick? We always do this at the end.
Oh yeah, they can find me on Instagram at Becoming Bonsai, and check out the Purple Pot Society, the National Women's Bonsai Group that works to educate and inspire women to do more bonsai.
Awesome. All right. Well, you guys have a wonderful rest of y'all's week, and I'll be seeing you guys soon, and we'll see about Carmen. Maybe she can get a ticket.
Shall see.
But yeah, thank you guys so much.